and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. For the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. Psalm 31. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, since you are my rock and my fortress. For the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set before me. For you are my refuge, and into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, faithful God. Those were the last words that Jesus chose to say. Can I go to the next slide, please? The breath of life. I'd like you to take a deep breath. I'd like you to put your string in front of your face, right close to your face, and breathe out and watch it move until all your breath is gone. Hold there. Don't faint. You can breathe again. The next day was a dark one for his disciples, thank you, and his family. The Sabbath day, the day of rest, which symbolized God's rest after the completion of his work of creation, would not have felt like a day of rest, a good day for them. The last act of God in creation was to breathe the breath of life into mankind. That was his last act, to breathe the breath of life into mankind. And then he rested, his work done, his Sabbath. Now to this Sabbath, where the disciples are hiding in darkness, on the day before this Sabbath, Christ had breathed his last. He gave up his breath, his pneuma, his ruach. The breath of God had left man and been committed back to God. And so too the disciples sat on this Sabbath breathless, without the breath of life, in darkness, hiding, empty, in sadness, in grief. But God's great plan was in motion. It had actually reached its fulfillment. You see, throughout Scripture, the story of God's people was described in terms of slavery and liberation. The story of creation is one of enslavement to evil and death. The story of the people of Israel was one of slavery to Egypt and then liberation out of death, through the waters of death, of being set free and then of learning how to be free and then supposed to be showing others what it means to be free in relationship with God. But they failed to enter into the freedom of God. They stayed bound on their sin, their greed, their tendency to oppress others. And we too, like all of humankind throughout history, were born into that slavery, unable to free ourselves. So just like Jesus was arrested, take your string and wrap it around your wrist. And hold it there. But Jesus had told us what he was here to do. When he announced his purpose, he quoted from Isaiah chapter 61, where he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." And then Jesus showed people the way to new life, the way, the hodos, the road, the path, one that led through death so that death could be defeated. He showed us what freedom looked like. And while his disciples on the Sabbath sat breathless, waiting, for what? I don't know. What was going to be next if Jesus hadn't come back? Unknown to them and to all the world as it sat in its own darkness, the chains of slavery were being cut off and hands were being unbound and prison doors were being unlocked, and yet they sat unaware. Reach over to your neighbor and slowly take the string away from your neighbor. Take their chains. And then when the long night of darkness was over and the women went to the tomb, there came the sudden rush of feet and the loud disturbances and the shouts, "He is risen! He is not dead, he is alive!" And the confusion and the running of feet as John and Peter raced each other to the tomb. But then back to the room, where once again they locked their doors and they sat in a prison of their own design, still clinging to the bondages and the fear that they didn't yet know they were free from. And in John's account, we read this. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Shalom." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Overwhelming well-being, total wellness, may it be upon you. "For as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them. And he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If they do not, they are not." He breathed on them. The Greek word used here is emphusao. It is used only once in the New Testament. And when they had translated many years before the Old Testament, their Hebrew scriptures into Greek, they chose this word to describe when God breathed the breath of life into mankind. And nowhere else in the New Testament is this word used. The breath that he had breathed out and committed back to God, the breath of life, he had received back, and now he began a new creation with a new people by breathing life back into his people. A new creation. "For behold, you are a new creation, the old is past." Take another deep breath and hold the string in front of your face. And breathe out. And breathe in. And breathe out. It's a breath that doesn't end. The breath that had returned to God from one man was now breathed out on those who would follow him, and a command was given to them to spread the breath of life throughout the world. And from this point onward, these people entered fully into that life and began the work of drawing others to Jesus, the bread of life, the water of life, the breath of life. And today, many generations later, we celebrate the greatest liberation day of all time, not one with tariffs. The day when Jesus stepped out of the tomb and parted the sea of death to provide a way out for those who would follow him through it. By receiving him, we also enter into his death. And because we have entered into his death, we now also enter into his new life, everlasting life, filled with the breath of the Spirit, who helps us to live free and to live to help others become free. A long line of captives. Ephesians 4:8 says, this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave gifts to his people. And 2 Corinthians says, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma and knowledge of him everywhere. And so it is with us. We are captives freed to live free and to bring others into this freedom. A long line of free people, an unbroken string of people throughout time. What I'd like you to do, this will test your dexterity, is to tie your piece of string to that of your neighbor's. We'll test who's done knots at Scouts or Girls Brigade or Icons. Then I'd like you to take it and tie that to the person next to you. And let's keep tying until we have one long line of string. We can do this. Good things take time. We're trying to represent 2,000 years of history here. You guys tying all yours together? Who's got it? Oh, it's gone back. Here we go. Well done. How are we going? The breath of life. See how long this was. It's about a ball of string long. We will string this out. At the very end of our scriptures, Revelation 22:17 says this. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. You see, this freedom is not forced upon us. It all comes down to us and the choices we make. Freedom has been promised. Freedom has been offered. The stone has been rolled away from your grave. And Jesus has opened up the way for you to leave the dungeon and the darkness. But you don't have to leave your room. Freedom must be received, and then freedom must be experienced. And sometimes keeping this freedom means giving things up in order to bring that freedom to others. But there is freedom in that. Jesus stands before you today. Whether you've known him a long time or you've never heard about him before, he has paid the price for your freedom. He is showing you the way out, the exodus, a way into a new life. And he is holding out the water of life, or the breath of life, a new breath. A new life is freely available for all who would take it. But you must choose to receive it. And then once you've received your freedom, you have to choose to walk in the way of freedom, following the one who set you free, and then learning how to be free and making it real in your life. Freedom doesn't come automatically. Captives who have been captive for a long time don't immediately step out. It takes some unlearning. And we are all on a journey of unlearning what it means to be slaves to sin. And we are learning what it means to be slaves to Christ, slaves to righteousness, slaves to right relationship. And then while we are learning this, not waiting till we've got perfect, because that's not going to happen. While we are learning our freedom, we're to use it to free others who may not know the good news of the freedom that is available for them. We are to be the aroma, like the lamb that was permeating the church on Thursday. If we could have the lights back on, I'll invite the music team up. We're just going to sing Hallelujah for the Cross one last time. Oh, I've lost Nathan. All right. Drums, bass. That's good, because this is a drummy song. And this... Nice. Let us stand and sing together.